Editor's note: this article contains descriptions of abuse endured or witnessed by residential school survivors that may be triggering. It mentions violence against children, including physical, mental, and emotional abuse. Maria Clark, whose Nuucha Nulth name is Hiawatha, recalls her grandmother, a residential school survivor, reliving an old memory triggered by a song from the past. She was 8 years old and arrived late for class at the residential school in Port Alberni. She was new to speaking English and was being hit repeatedly with a wooden ruler on the head and ears as they demanded she explain herself. Clark says her grandmother told her the story of how her ears were bleeding and swollen, and she was woken the next morning by a nun who noticed she was covered in blood and suffering from what was likely a concussion. She was taken to the office and then to the infirmary. "I was holding back everything and just was like, 'You were eight,'" said Maria. The story lives close to home for her, as she has grandchildren now who are close to the same age as her grandmother was at the time. Maria says out of her four grandparents, three of them went to residential schools, and it was not often that they shared their experiences. She blocked it out, and she only started to have memories of it when she started going to residential school survivor workshops, Maria explains. "It's been really helpful and healing for her. She didn't understand a lot of things before. She was avoiding Vancouver Island most of my young life, and even now, when she comes, she only comes for a few days here to Tofino. She gets pretty bad anxiety being home, and being so close to this area and its memories. It's been bittersweet to watch her grandmother realize why she used alcohol to numb herself and avoided family and home." Maria's own children and grandchildren call her Gigi, and are able to have a great relationship with her. "It's nice to see it come full circle." While her grandmother was able to start a journey of healing and reconciliation, Maria's own mother, who suffered extensively from alcoholism, did not have the same chance before she died. "She could be cold, and she could be very distant. My mother was numbing with alcohol. She would sober up and drink and sober up and drink. She suffered a lot of intergenerational violence and harm. And so, as I got older and now as a woman, I understand why she was the way she was." Her parents were together until she was around 5 years old, but the relationship was volatile and they eventually separated. They were young, she says, and had both gone through intergenerational trauma. Maria and her younger brother went to live with their mother in Vancouver, and a year later they suffered a devastating loss. When she was 8 years old, her brother was killed after being hit by a car, right in front of her. "Both of my parents kind of spiraled for several years," she says, adding that she was very alone in the city. "My mother went in and out of sobriety, and she was quite abusive to me. When she was 12, she found out that she could make her own decision about where she wanted to go in her parents' divorce hearings. She called her dad and asked for someone to pick her up. I told him that my mother had hit me for the last time, and I wanted to come home." She lived with her grandparents in Ucluelet after that, and was surrounded by loving family again. Her father guided her in a positive direction, encouraging her to speak a second language, play an instrument, and learn to use a computer. "I listened to him," Maria says. "It's different when you feel safe, and you're not worried about things like being hungry or finding food. You can grow in those kind of conditions." Despite the change in direction, she still had hard times and struggled with memories of childhood. When she confided in her grandfather about her feelings of loneliness and being void of peace, he told her, "That's what the government wanted us to feel. That's why they removed our culture and our language and our traditions, because they want you to feel that way, and it's up to us to find those things." Today, Clark is the assistant general manager at Tinwis Resort in Tofino, which is on the site of Christie Residential School, the last residential school to close in British Columbia. She is one of the only Indigenous female hotel executives in the province, and the first Indigenous person to sit on the Tourism Tofino board. She's been with the resort for 15 years, after starting out as a dishwasher. She worked many jobs, including as a server in the restaurant, before leaving the resort for a national parks job with an Indigenous program. She eventually came back to Tin Whis, working her way up the ladder, and encouraging her indigenous employees to do the same. While Maria was a single mother with two children, and was working on her career, things were about to change. When her mother died, she left behind two children ages 8 and 10, who Maria inherited when she was 30. She also took in her niece and two nephews. At one time, she had 7 children in her care. In retrospect, I don't feel like it was a struggle. I'm grateful for the moments. The hardest part was, for a little while, I really struggled with survivor's guilt. My mom had passed. I was alive. This is reconciliation. While at a tourism conference in Vancouver, Maria realized that she has been able to have moments that she considers reconciliation. The Tin Whis Resort has raised a new totem pole on the property, in honor of her grandfather, for example. It feels like an achievement, which is really hard for me to accept, because I grew up with a mom that I did, and so the feeling of being worthy is something that's really kind of a childhood trauma response. I don't feel worthy. A lot of times one of these things where I should feel achievement, I don't feel that. I don't allow myself to acknowledge those things. But I'm starting to learn how to. While in the city, Maria took her grandmother to a restaurant that serves indigenous cuisine, and it was there that they had a moment of reconciliation between the two generations. As they enjoyed their meal together, her grandmother stopped and said, "I'm so proud of you and the work you're doing, and how much you're achieving, and I don't think I say that enough. I don't know if I've ever even said it." For her, and for me personally, it was a moment where I actually feel like, this is reconciliation. Maria says, "We have to really work for those moments. I felt proud in that moment." For anyone who is struggling with finding moments of reconciliation in their own lives, Maria says it has helped her to remember that, we're all having a human experience. I don't think there's an Indigenous person who is untouched by the hurts that have been put in place by residential schools and the 60s scoop. I just try not to get too tied up in the harm anymore. I really believe what happened to us is not our fault. She says that healing is our responsibility, and she works to heal her own heart every day while fighting for awareness and understanding in the Indigenous and non-Indigenous community. We can have bad days. It's not always a bad life. And if it is, and we can do anything to give each other a hand up, we should. Support for survivors and their families is available. Call the Indian Residential School Survivors Society at 1-800-721-0066 or 1-866-925-4419 for the 24/7 crisis line. The Kuwis Crisis Line Society also offers 24/7 support at 250-723-4050 for adults, 250-723-2040 for youth, or toll-free at 1-800-588-8717.